Welcome to Maximum Geek. I'm Jeff Kirvin.
And I'm Josh Curry, and we're geeky. That's right. We're geeks. And
this is
you're jealous
episode
because
43
we are
of
the
Maximum
geekiest.
Geek.
Yes.
Episode 43. We are,
What are we?
I didn't think we'd make it this far, frankly.
I have no idea what happened. How did we get this
apparently,
far?
Yeah, people actually listen to us. I don't, yeah.
Well, not people so much, but, you know. That wasn't meant as an insult to our listeners, just if we really do have them. If you are a person listening to this, let us know on our forums at MaximumGeek.org/forums.
MaximumGeek.org.
That's right.
Yeah, long time listeners, all three of them, may notice that the URL has changed. Maximum Geek now has its own URL, a lot of things are changing with Solo Media, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, that's juicy. That will save all the big changes, and we'll save those for the end. We'll for the grand finale. Anyway, first I want to talk about
papaya
the
juice,
new trend: hard drive
papaya
camcorders.
Juice. Hard? Oh, I thought, okay, Josh was sending me IMs today at work, like, on suggested topics, and he just sent HD camcorders, which, thinking video, I was like, high-def camcorders, okay, what's the big deal? I don't understand.
No, these are hard drives. There's one, actually.
To make it to Maximum Geek.
The one particular one uses rev drives, so it uses the rev cartridges, so it's a removable hard drive.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot
Why has it taken this long for someone to figure this out?
I don't know.
I mean, this makes so much more sense than recording onto tiny DVDs or even worse, to those ridiculous tapes. You just record
DVDs,
straight to a hard drive.
Yeah. And just think about it. I mean, PCMCIA
kind of
hard drive
is the iPod.
Yeah, you can do all kinds of great video stuff with direct to hard drive, and it can be whatever you want. As long as your optics will do, full high-def resolution, you've got high-def. You've got you're just as flexible as any digital format, but you can have vastly superior storage, and I think it's very interesting. It's not the first one that's come out, but it's the first one I've really read about, and it's the first one I've seen that uses an over-the-counter standard, like, rev drive, which you can go buy at CompUSA. For those who don't know, the iOmega Rev is basically the newest generation zip drive. I mean, it's a very large removable drive. There's several capacities, up to, like, 92 gigabytes. They're a little large, but they're still pretty flexible and pretty cool.
Speaking of flexible, saw something horribly, horribly disturbing today.
You haven't seen the iGuy before?
Yeah, I just finally saw the iGuy. Which is a fourth gen iPod case made by Spec that's like a Gumby.
Yes.
It's got little arms and legs and a weird, disturbing little butt crack.
What's wrong with that?
I don't want my iPod to have a butt crack.
Well,
that's just sick and wrong.
With the Nano,
sick
would you even notice?
Wrong.
It's so small.
Yeah, the Nano is like an anorexic iPod.
It is. I heard that that they are planning an intervention, actually. For the Nano, because it is.
Although we haven't actually discussed the Nano on Maximum Geek yet, so this would be a good time to kind of delve into that. Yeah, while camcorders are moving to hard drives, iPods are actually moving away from them. The new iPod Nano, if you're one of the five or six people who hasn't seen one yet, or at least pictures.
I've seen one in person because my aunt. Well, I haven't seen it, but I've heard detailed reviews. I wish I'd been there to see it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, if Apple does anything right, it's
I know
marketing.
Someone who owns them.
But it
I'm related.
It's a color screened click wheel iPod, not all that much bigger than a Shuffle. It's like two Shuffles side by side.
Yeah, it's very thin. It's a very thin iPod Mini. Essentially,
it's thinner than a pencil, and the reason why it's so thin is that it actually uses a 4 gig flash chip made by, I believe, Samsung.
Yes, Samsung is like giving their flash chips to Apple to make this a profitable device. Actually, there are a lot of companies out there who are pissed because there's no way they can compete. Apple's
yeah.
getting more than
Apple
getting
has...
them for like half price. Half of
yeah,
the
Apple has
wholesale
and,
price.
Well, and they've got a lock on the supply. Yeah. Apple is taking the entire Samsung inventory of these flash chips.
Yeah,
so even if someone wanted to pay a little more, they still couldn't get them.
Yeah. So four gigabytes flash. There's a lot of predictions that hard drive players are going away in the next couple of years completely. In favor of flash, which would be interesting.
Just as Palm gets into the market. Well, isn't Samsung making a new 4 gigabit chip that's like incredibly cheap compared to what's already out there?
Well, there's a lot of those things, but I mean they're also bumping the hard drive way up there. I mean, the perpendicular hard drives are hitting 100 gigabytes now, or soon to be hitting 100 gigabytes, and extremely tiny. So, I mean, flash will never catch up to a hard drive, especially in price per gig or meg or, you know, depending on what generation you're in, price per gigabyte. I feel so weird to say that, but...
price per meg has pretty much become like an irrelevant. It's like, you know, well, it's like 2/100th of a cent per meg.
Yeah, but I remember back when, you know, it was a good deal to pay $1 a meg.
Oh, I know. I was
that
there.
Was crazy,
that.
Insane good deal. Remember
yeah,
when it was good
was,
to pay $10
awesome.
A meg, but we won't go there. Okay, now that we've shown how old we are, yes, hard drive players may be going the way of, I mean, here's the thing, the Nano's neat, 4 gig, very
nano,
cool,
nano.
But
nano.
I'm using a 20 gig Dell DJ right now, and I could never, ever see myself going to a 4 gig. So, until they've got a 20 gig that's that size...
Well, and this is something that we were actually discussing earlier this week on the Writing on Your Palm Google group, is there are some people out there, and I'm not going to say whether or not these people are stupid or not, but there are some people out there who would rather have 4 gig than 20 gig because they have trouble finding stuff in 20 gig. Yeah, if they've got a 20 or a 40 gig iPod, it even with the iPod's interface, it takes them too long to find the song they're looking for.
Wow.
I think that's really more of a user interface problem. I would rather have all of my stuff with me all of the time because I never know what kind of mood I'm going to be in, and I like a lot of different kinds of music. But
yeah, I'd rather be able to carry everything.
What I think is really going to kill the hard drive-based players isn't flash, it's streaming.
Really?
I think,
well, okay.
I think the introduction
Jeff's new thing
of
is streaming.
No, I think now, I don't even have high speed yet, but I think the introduction of Evdo and UMTS, or whatever the successor to UMTS is, those are the 3G GSM technologies. Those are all cable speed cellular. And I think once those roll out and are relatively widespread, why bother putting anything local on your device? Just stream everything from your 200 gig collection at home.
Well, eventually that's an interesting idea, but then you've got service outages, you don't have coverage everywhere you are. I mean, there are... It'll never be the same as having it locally.
Case?
Yeah, I'd say... I'd say
keep just your favorites with you. Just like 2 gig of what you really, really want, you know, what you'll the songs you just somehow never get sick of with you. And then you stream everything else.
Well, but I don't know. I'm not sure that that'll take off. I mean, it's a neat idea, but I think it's a ways off.
Oh, yeah.
And B, there's still a lot of technical, I mean, like I said, quality of signal's an issue. There's a lot of obstacles there. It's a neat future.
These are all things that are going to get better.
That it's a neat future. But, you know.
As much as I'm not really wowed by the rocker, I think it's kind of a pedestrian design, and yeah, it's really not all that interesting as a phone. But I honestly think that that is the future of media players, more so than the Nano.
It's possible. Right now I don't want to make any sweeping judgments because things are changing so fast. We can make all kinds of predictions right now, but until we see where things really are heading, which even the industry can't be sure,
But once you know where things are going, it's not a prediction anymore. It's just news reporting.
No, you're missing my point. You're predicting far down the road. You're not predicting a year from now. You're predicting 5 years from now, okay? You're predicting 10 years from now. You're insane. Evdo is not going to be everywhere 3 years from now.
Okie dokie.
It's not. Realistically, you are not going to have... Evdo coverage may be in a lot of the bigger cities. It will be in a lot of the bigger cities, but... You know, you're talking about replacing the iPod with streaming. You're talking about replacing the iPod with streaming audio. You can't do that until it's everywhere. You're saying, it's going to replace it.
I see what
3 years.
You're getting at. I wasn't taking the rural hicks into account. I was just talking about city people.
Okay. You know what? Not only people in cities buy iPods. You're talking about the entire market. You're saying that they're going to replace iPods. That is a sweeping statement. That isn't, where there is Evdo, it's going to replace them, which I don't even see in 3 years. No. People are still, they're still going to be hard drive based and still, they'll be transitioning to flash, and it'll be a while before we see what you're talking about. You're not talking 3 years from now. You, as usual, are ahead of your time.
I am talking 3 years from now, but I'm also completely insane. So,
it's possible. It's possible that this could happen 3 years from now. My argument here
is going to be as crazy as I am.
No, it's not going to happen. Just from everything I've seen in my life, the market doesn't move that fast. No market moves that fast. Not to this big a change. That's an evolutionary step. That's. No MP3 players to MP3 players. And beyond what you're talking, really what you're talking is centralized computing, not decentralized. Right now we're very decentralized. I mean, you'll have a PDA that has data on it, and you'll sync that data with your own computer when you're home. But what you're talking about is you'll have one place where all your data is stored, which, you know, kind of like what we'd like to eventually do for us with Solo, you know, where we can, wherever we are, have access to our information. You know, we're, of course, as usual, on the bleeding edge of things. It's bleeding. I don't know why they call it the bleeding edge. Anyway, let's not talk about that. What you're talking about is definitely going to happen eventually, but I think it's further off than that. As much as I like to be visionary, even the streaming, until it's mainstream, I don't see it being mainstream in 3 years. 5 years, starting to be, 10 years, I see it being everything. But my point is, I don't want to make predictions 10 years out. right now because who knows what's going to happen 10 years from now. I mean, things could change far faster than I think or slower than I think. I mean, you know, based on how technology was progressing in the 70s and 80s, we should be to Mars by now. But things happen. I mean, you know, based on how things were progressing, I mean, you know, things change. So, anyway, so, while I think that is definitely in the future, I don't think it's the 3 years ahead future.
Okay, well,
okay.
I disagree, but I'm crazy. Next topic.
Let's talk about tiny electronics. The Game Boy Micro comes out next week, out the 19th. This thing, you know, I was down on it at first because I'm like, why the hell do I need another Game Boy? But I'll tell you what. The ability to play a tiny little, put it in my pocket, carry it wherever, wherever I go, play my games wherever I am. This thing is tiny. The screen is the height of an SD card.
That is freaky. I saw the pictures of that this morning. I was like, oh my god, this thing is like not even there.
If it existed today, I probably would already have bought one. I probably would have gone and bought one today if it existed.
That's what concerns me is you have big beefy hands. Can you even play this?
Well, there'll be a demo model I'll fondle before I play it. But you know what? Physically, it's not much smaller than an old school Nintendo controller. It's about the size of a Nintendo controller. That's what I think is the coolest thing about it. It's designed very much like a Nintendo controller. It's the size of a Nintendo controller. It's just got a screen in the middle. It's a little thicker.
It's definitely, now that we're starting to see real pictures of this and not just mock-ups, it is definitely looking very much cooler than I expected it to be.
And everything I've heard about the screen is it's awesome, and actually crisper and far more usable than I predicted. I didn't think they could make this screen all that usable.
Well, the dot pitch, I mean, it's going to have the same number of pixels as a Game Boy Advance. It's just going to be at a much tighter dot pitch.
But,
look fantastic.
Yeah, that's, if it really does do what they're claiming, I will have one. Oh, yes, I will. Maybe even next week. So, if I get one next week, prepare for a, fondle report and a review on that.
Here's the big question.
Okay.
You've got your Dell jukebox.
Yeah.
You got your laptop, your big gargantuan Toshiba laptop.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a Game Boy Micro.
Uh-huh.
Will the Zod officially be retired at that point?
The Zod might as well officially be retired now. I have ceased using it in almost every fashion. It's just too much to carry around. I can't fit it in a pocket. I already carry a laptop. Right now, I don't have the time to use something like that. The only PDA right now I would end up using, as much as I would probably buy a replacement for the Zod if there were a next-generation Zodiac, I'd probably never use it. The only PDA I can really see myself using on a regular basis is a Trio. Because it's something I'll carry with me. But unless it's a slim device, I'm not carrying it with me. I carry my Dell DJ with me 90% of the time. Almost every day. Sometimes if I know I'm going to be busy running all over the place, and I don't, you know, and I'm going to have to be talking to people, going to people's offices, and things like that, then I won't take it because it's just, you know, it's a mess. Because then I got to pull the headphones out, and, you know, that's the only time I don't take my Dell DJ. But other than that, unfortunately, I am far less a PDA user than I used to be. And with the Game Boy Micro, I'll really have to seriously consider fully retiring the Zod and just setting it aside for now. As much as I love my Zodiac. And then maybe by the end of the year I'll have a Trio, and then we can wait for the Windows Mobile Trio to come out next year whenever it does, or maybe by the end of the year.
Trio. Okay, a few things that that I know or think I know about the Windows Mobile Trio. I get these from a reliable source. I'm not going to say what, you know, who or what or what, you know, whatever the source is, but here are some predictions about the Windows Mobile Trio. It will be out this year. This is not a next spring thing. This is in the stores before Christmas. It is real, obviously. And it will, you know, there will be a departure with this over previous Trios. For the first 6 months or so, it will be exclusive to Verizon. Sprint will not get it until next year.
Why I said next year. Because I'm Sprint only.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to tell everybody that the Trix Rabbit is your source. And I'm going to question the reliability of the Trix Rabbit. He can't even outsmart those kids.
Yeah, but see, what I did is I actually gave him, like, a bunch of tricks, and then he spilled everything.
Oh, dude. That's so smart. Did the kids come get it after he told you everything?
Yeah, the kids kicked my ass later, but it was worth it.
Okay, I always felt you know what? I always felt sorry for the Trix Rabbit when I was young. Because he just, it was so, he's mean! The poor rabbit just wants some food!
Yeah, he worked so hard, too. I mean, it's like,
those costumes and those disguises!
Which, you're thinking, with the money he put into that, why didn't he just go buy some of, you know, the cereal for himself, but...
Well, because the kids were there.
We're probably overthinking a commercial about breakfast cereal.
Dude, there was a rabbit, and that's all I knew. I was a little kid. I thought it was real. Anyway, that's got nothing to do with our next topic. Okay, now we've covered a lot of different technologies, but I've got one more I want to cover. The Polite phone. I don't know if you read about this on Engadget today. Basically, it's a phone they're working on that... Well, it looks at what driving situation you're in, and will either let the call through or forward it to your voicemail. Like, if you're sitting still, all calls come through. If you're driving and it's, you know, just regular everyday driving, it'll let all of your quote-unquote whitelist calls through. Okay, and if you're, like, in a horrible fiery car wreck, none of your calls get through.
But what if you're trying to call 911?
It'll automatically dial 911 if your airbag deploys. You can make calls from it, you just can't receive calls. It'll automatically handle your incoming calls, but not your outgoing calls. If your airbag deploys, it automatically dials 911.
That is crazy cool.
And I like it because it still leaves the control with you. Because, you know, you can control who gets through most of the time. And, you know, it's not totally taking away your control and saying, hey, this phone knows what's best for you. But it's got some good safety features. It's Motorola's working on it. And it sounds very interesting to me. I think that's pretty cool.
Yes,
and,
is it a Trio?
No, but how hard could it be to adapt a Trio to do that? I mean, in a future generation Trio.
Yeah, the Trio would have to have some way of being aware of what you were doing.
Yeah, it doesn't say how it's aware of what's going on. Whether it, you know, there's no... It's clearly going to have to be tied into the car somehow. Bluetooth cars, you know. My guess is it'll link into the Bluetooth in a car. And look, and the car will know its situation and... So, my daughter is talking, in case you couldn't tell.
Yes, yes. The fifth Beatle, hard at work.
Yes. So, anyway, I think that is a kind of a cool idea. We probably won't see it for another year or so. But,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's a neat thing technology can do for you without screwing you up the asshole. Anyway, next topic. I'd like to talk about a little bit about Windows Vista. That's right, Windows Vista.
Vista.
Hasta la vista.
Vista.
Gravy. Wait, no, baby. There are going to be something like 7 versions of Windows Vista. There's going to be the Windows Vista Home Starter Edition, Vista Starter, Vista Home Basic, Vista Home Premium, Vista Pro, Vista Small Business, Vista Enterprise, and Vista Ultimate. Okay, let's step through these. Now, Vista Pro, Vista Starter is going to be like today's XP Starter. 90% of the people in America probably don't know anything about that because they don't pay attention, and it's Microsoft news, and unless it's bad news, no one wants to hear it. Microsoft has, in many countries, where computers are just starting to be adopted, where they're a young technology, where people can't afford them in any meaningful way, they have a very low-cost version of Windows called Windows XP Starter Edition. And that, it limits the number of programs you can run. It, you know, it's not a fully aware, fully functioning version, okay? But it's a good starter, and it's very inexpensive. So that'll be what Vista is. Vista Starter. It won't even be available in the States. It'll be, you know, available in third world countries and things like that where computers are just starting to come around. Probably not third world even, but you know what I mean. Then we have Vista Home Basic, which is essentially, it's a product designed for single PC homes. If you only have one PC, it's all you need. It's not got any networking abilities, really. It's very, very limited on what it can do from a networking standpoint, but if you're just the guy who goes on the internet and, you know, browses porn, it'll do it for you. It's got the very big, you know, it's got your basic antivirus, firewall, all that stuff that we've come to expect from Microsoft. And then we move on to the Vista Home Premium, which will be somewhere between Home and Pro. It'll have the basic networking stuff. It's designed for a multi-computer environment. Okay? So
multi-computer environment?
For multi-PC homes. Okay?
Oh.
So for home users who don't need all the flash of Pro or, you know, it'll be... So that's Vista Home Premium. Now, I'll go on and then I'll explain what I think is going to be... It'll include stuff like all the stuff Media Center Edition does. So it'll do all that stuff and, you know, basic tablet PC stuff and all that. Okay, that's the first version that has real tablet PC support, Windows Media Center support, and all that stuff. Okay, and then we get Vista Pro, which is pretty similar to Windows XP Pro. It's designed, targeted at businesses. It's got, you know, it's designed to join a domain, not just a peer-to-peer network. It's compatible with Novell, SNMP. You know, it's got remote desktop, Microsoft IIS, EFS, all that stuff. It's got all the basic stuff you need for a small business, a very small business. Okay, and then there's actually we come to Small Business Edition, which adds a few more things. Like, it's got VSS, which is Volume Shadow Copy Service, and it's got backup features, and it's got a few more things, and there's some things yet decided about that. Then we move on to the full-blown Enterprise Edition, which is, you know, got the multi-language user interface, secure startup, full volume encryption, security, the cornerstone stuff. There is nothing like that right now. It's a step above what XP Pro is. Okay? And then there's Ultimate Edition, which is basically really targeted at gamers and really high-end power users. It'll do everything you ever wanted. It's actually, the rumor is it's going to have a built-in podcast creation utility, which may not make it into the final version. But they're working on it right now. It could be kind of interesting that they're including that, but there's a lot of little things, and we're not even sure what's all going to be in Vista Ultimate, but basically, it's the most complete OS ever, you know, for a PC. I mean, it'll, with that and a few games, you know, a lot of people won't need anything else. And there are no price points on these yet. Vista Ultimate. Now, here's the thing. There's a lot of people who are worried about the number of versions. I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Jeff? Do you think that's too many versions?
I think it's alarmingly confusing, yes. I can also see a market segment that would be perfectly suited by each one of them. I think what it's really going to come down to is how well Microsoft, you know, markets and differentiates these versions, you know, once Vista is available for sale.
Yeah, how many versions do we have right now? Go ahead.
How hard is Microsoft going to make it for you to buy the wrong version? And if you do buy the wrong version, how easy is Microsoft going to make it for you to get the right one?
Okay. Let me ask you this. How many versions are there right now of Windows?
Of XP or just
XP,
in general?
XP.
Are we counting Windows 2003 Server as an XP variant?
No. Just anything that says Windows XP.
Okay, so I know of at least three, Starter, Home, and Pro.
Well, what about Tablet actually... and Microsoft and Media Center?
Okay, yeah, there's also Tablet and Media Center.
So really we're only adding two versions.
So there's five.
There's five. I can't,
but
there's nothing else that justifies.
Keep in mind that the Tablet and Media Center versions are only available on specialized hardware. You can't just go out and buy XP Tablet Edition and add it to an existing computer.
But but listen to me for a second. What makes you think it's going to be any different with the next generation? First of all, there is one other version we didn't really talk about. That's Windows X64.
Uh-huh.
We did not talk about the 64-bit edition of Windows. So there are six versions out there right now. You have to do something special to get that done. But here's what I see. First of all, Vista Starter's out of the question. I mean, it's not a version that'll even be available here. I don't see them selling Home Basic as a standalone, because it's really targeted at new computer owners who don't go out and build their own system. It'll be an OEM product, most likely. I mean, I don't know this. Here's what I'm guessing they're going to do. It'll be an OEM product for the most part, so it'll ship on new systems, or, you know, it'll be available to original equipment manufacturers. Okay? Home Premium, I think you'll be out there to buy. Vista Pro, I think, will be out there to buy for anybody. But then you've got all your business editions, which I think there'll be three versions on the shelf in any store. So we're adding one version. We've got Home Premium, Vista Pro, and Vista Ultimate. I think those are the three that people will really see out there. So I don't think it's really going to be muddied up that much. Because really, people are going to see Vista Small Business and know, that's not what I need. It's my home. Vista Enterprise, same thing. I'm not saying this is how they're going to do it. I'm saying that there is a way they could do this and minimize the confusion and not make it any more confusing than the current generation. I'm looking at their current practices and trying to apply those to the next generation stuff. I mean, all of these will be available from an OEM standpoint, but if you're shopping at Dell or, you know, CompUSA, the idea is there should be a salesperson to talk to you about it. If you don't know, you know, you generally aren't just out there buying it without talking to someone. But I'm sure that's what they're thinking. I don't know whether that's really going to be how it all turns out, but...
Well, it'll be it'll be interesting to see exactly how it does all turn out. I'm kind of curious about what the pricing is going to be for Vista Ultimate, because that really sounds like it's right up my alley, especially if it's got built-in podcasting support.
Non-upgrade, here's my guess. No, my guess is $100 more expensive than Pro. So you're talking
$300.
$300 to $400. $300 for an upgrade, $400 for a full install.
Wow. That's kind of pricey.
That's all a guess, but I don't think that's beyond. So that makes me go, well, do I really need Vista Ultimate?
I'd have to take a look at the full feature list, but...
Well, I mean, they're talking, and if you read through, I didn't read the whole article, I didn't read the whole breakdown. They don't know what all is going to be in Vista Ultimate, but it may include a lot of things like extended subscriptions and things like that. It's really packaging more than just your OS is my concern, and so $300 to $400 is not unheard of for something like this. It'll be the most expensive OS that targeted at any sort of home PC user we've ever seen, but I also don't see them pricing it any higher than that. Although if they're smart, it'll fall in right where Pro does now, and we'll get a lot larger. You know, a lot larger arc of prices so more people can afford it.
So instead of being, you know, like $100 difference between Pro and
Home,
it would be more like, you know, $50 between Home and Pro, and then another $50 to jump from Pro to Ultimate or something like that.
I think if they're smart about their pricing, that's what they'll do, but we'll see. So anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting. I'm not too worried about the number of versions, and I'm going to write an article up on all this for Tibariru.com, but yeah.
Tibariru.
That's my bottom line. I think, I think they may have gone a little insane, but I don't think it's a big issue. I think that if they market it right, which Microsoft, if nothing is good at marketing, they'll be smart. What?
Didn't we just say that about Apple like 15 minutes ago?
They're both good at marketing. There's a reason they're two very dominant companies. I mean, if we were that good at marketing, Solo Media would already be a success. Which segues quite nicely into our final subject. We hate FictionWise. Jeff and I, as of today, officially hate FictionWise.
Extremely irked with FictionWise.
Extremely angered, unhappy, want to strangle them. I had visions of, I don't even know what I'm not going to say his name, that'd be too cruel. But the guy sent the email to Jeff, I had visions of him being run over by a bus and living through it so I could torture him. So, let us explain why.
See, I had visions of him being run over by a reindeer, but that was different.
Basically, FictionWise emailed Jeff today and said, you know, you guys have to pull your Creative Commons license from your books, or we will no longer sell them. So,
our books
at FictionWise will no longer be Creative Commons. Because...
Yeah. Basically, what it came down to is that our Creative Commons license that explicitly allows... people to make derivative works technically also allows file sharing, which I personally don't have a problem with, but it conflicts with a blanket no file sharing policy that they have at FictionWise, and apparently even though this license only applies to our books, they think that having some books hosted at FictionWise that do allow file sharing and the vast majority that don't is going to be confusing. So they told us that we can either lose the Creative Commons license and go back to a standard copyright, or, they'd take all our books down.
Yeah.
Our initial gut reaction was, screw you, hippie. But we decided that may not be, in a manner of speaking, the most expedient way to approach this. So
probably not the smartest way to handle it.
Yeah, since when has that been an issue for us?
Well, we basically, the way I saw it was we had three options.
Yeah.
The first option was, screw you FictionWise, we take everything down from FictionWise, we put it all up for free until we build the system. Now,
which
the
big I was okay with.
I would be okay with it, except for we really do lose some. We lose some exposure.
We lose a little visibility.
And I don't want to just. You know, I don't want to just pull the rug out from under people who are already reading our stuff. So I want this transition to be flawless, and the only way to do that is to do it right. So you will see a standard copyright on our next... there was a standard copyright already, but we were overriding it with our Creative Commons. New stuff
all
from now
on
books will be...
All of our books will now revert to just standard copyright 2005. We will no longer explicitly allow derivative works. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
No. I specifically allow derivative works. It just doesn't say it. I am more than... You know what? Here's the bottom line. Here's what I realized earlier, Jeff.
Well, that's why I said it.
Fiction-wise can't...
I said explicitly.
Can't affect our actual policies. I mean, they can put whatever they want on it, but if we want to allow it, they don't get to sue over our copyright. I mean, they've got no power here.
And that's pretty
here.
Much the way we take it. We are in the process of building our own storefront, and eventually, Josh will have. Yeah, Josh, our wonderful code monkey, although he's really more gorilla sized. We need to work on our terminology. But
code gorilla.
But grape ape. But we're going to have to build our own storefront and our own micropayment system. And, you know, in my gut, because, you know, I'm Texan and we listen to our gut.
How can you help it? I've heard it. It's loud. It's loud. How can you not listen to it?
But I kind of knew from the beginning that what we were doing with solo media and serial fiction was so different that nobody was really going to get it, except for those weird people on e-reader who think they're doing something unique, but they're not.
I was going to talk about that next.
We'll get to that next. But I knew that we were, ultimately it was going to be better if we just kind of created our own system, because nobody else would really get what we were doing, and that is borne out to be true. So we're going to create our own storefront. We're going to sell these our way, and we're going to
damn the man
fall on our own merits. Now, what we need from you, listeners, listening to this podcast for free, our ideas on how to market solo media. We've got a lot of fans. We've got people that are not only faithfully reading the four title or five titles that we've got going right now, but actually email us and say, "Hey, where's Ghost number 3? When something's not out." So we appreciate that, but what we want to do is get more of you. So what do we need to do to get more people both aware of and interested in serial fiction? Because Josh and I are coming up empty. The best idea I had involved a bullhorn. So
yeah, and I just don't have the money for a bullhorn. This needs. We're talking grassroots. We're talking free. We're talking Josh and Jeff are poor, and we want more people to read our stuff because we think it's worthy. And there are some things we're going to try. Once we've gotten through our first four issues of everything, we're going to put together a compilation, and we're going to send it to some reviewers. So,
okay.
That's the plan.
That sounds like a good idea, and I'm just hoping we can pull this off. In order to really make this work, we need to get more people involved. And to get more people involved, we need ideas, because we're not as good at marketing as we thought we were. So
here's what we need. We need suggestions. We need to know
geek.org.
Slash forums. We need to know what you guys think we should be doing about fiction-wise, whether we're handling it right, staying with them. Or should we have gone with our gut reaction and said, screw you hippies? Would you be willing to help us beta test this door once I have something up and running? I need some brave souls who trust me to help me beta test the store. I haven't determined everything about it yet. I'll probably end up using PayPal as a back end and Miva Merchant as the actual storefront. That's what I'm thinking right now. But I will need some victims. I mean volunteers. I mean to help me beta test it and get a public ready storefront. So if you'd be willing to do that, I'd like to hear from you. And we want to know how we should get the news out about Solo Media. How we can avoid something that pissed me off. And those of you who don't know, E-Reader recently had a little blurb in theirs about the first soap opera.
Soap opera.
Yeah, yeah, and they're basically talking about how it's ongoing, and every month there'll be a new issue. And I was like, wow.
Hello?
If only we hadn't been doing this for several months already. Then you could claim you were first. And
they were first just means that still nobody knows about us, or not enough people.
Yeah, we haven't made a splash, and it should make a splash. We were doing this before them, and unfortunately, Fiction-Wise didn't see fit to understand that. And
yeah,
refuses
the folks at Fiction-Wise have never really understood what we're doing.
They just saw more books. Okay, yeah, we like short fiction. Let's add more short fiction. So, yeah, we definitely have some issues. So we'll see what we can do. So that's kind of our plan right now. I'm working with putting together a new site eventually. And I'm not sure I want to tell you the URL because it will be in many different phases of construction over the next month or so. I'm not sure I want people going to it, and it's in many bastardized forms.
Yeah.
We will have
we have our storefront for this. We will have a URL that makes sense considering what we're doing.
I registered the domain name today, As soon as it starts propagating, to do some direct hands-on work with it and get to understand Miva Merchant a little better and get to use it as my giant sandbox. I don't want people going there until I've actually done something with it. The other thing is, tomorrow we will be liberating our sites that have not actually followed us yet. Solomedia.org, writingonyourpalm.net, ravingmedia.info, liberalmedium.us, and whatever other sites we have.
They will all be liberated from our current hosting provider, who did a great job. We really have no problems with creativeconsulting.com.
I definitely want to send a shout-out to Jay. He was as helpful as he could be.
Yeah, if you're looking for just a good basic hosting provider for kind of a brochureware site, yeah, if you're tired of AOL and looking for something with a little more flexibility, Jay is wonderful. We just outgrew him. It's no hard feelings, we needed a stronger more program oriented back end. You know, we were doing a lot more dynamic stuff than he was ready to handle. So
yeah, we were the only ones really pushing his system, and in some ways I felt sorry for that.
So we're reluctantly with a fair degree of guilt moving away from creativeconsulting.com and moving the rest of our sites over to DreamHost, where we're going to have the power and flexibility on the back end to do what we really want to do.
So by the end of the week, all of our sites should be moved over and sporting new look and be all happy and friendly. Keep an eye out for that. To celebrate that, I'll be returning to my to posting, because I haven't posted anything on any site other than a couple blurbs on Max Geek, a blurb on Max Geek. About my new car. Oh, wait. Josh has to... off topic for a minute. Josh got a new car.
A blurblet. Josh got a new car. Two new cars.
Well, Josh's wife also got a new car. Last week, there are two new cars in my family. I got a Dodge Neon, 2005 Dodge Neon. It's blue. It is awesome. And I got an incredibly good interest rate, 5.9%.
Knowing you and knowing what your credit rating looks like, I have no idea why Chrysler did that. But
yeah,
hey,
but they did. I had to drive all over town and find a good dealership to deal with. Laird Noller in Hutchinson, Kansas, if you live in the Kansas area. The Kansas area. Okay, I'm sorry. I had to say that. Anyway, the Wichita area. I was like, well, Kansas area, because I don't know that we have anyone in the Wichita area.
Kansas is a city
which
is mostly underwater.
Yes, it is. Well, I just don't know that we have many listeners near Wichita, so I figured I should expand it
to
the Kansas area.
On Wednesday, so Josh wouldn't be brain dead.
Hey, we are much less brain dead than normal. I've been doing much better. So.
Yes, have some.
I don't know. Anyway, here we go. And my wife got a used PT Cruiser, and my car payment went down, and our car insurance went up a little bit. Amazing.
Yeah, I'm really, only in America, really. I mean, as much as I've been kind of annoyed politically recently, I'd say, over the last 5 years or so. Wonder if there's a pattern there.
I don't know what you're talking about. Go ahead.
only in America could a family of we'll say three, but Tori's only like what, 8 or 9 months old, so it's not like
8 months
really
old.
Participate in, she can't really participate much in the decision making process, although I'm sure she's a considerable factor. Only in America could a family of three go out and buy two new cars to save money.
Yeah, basically,
It just boggles my mind that that's even possible, but hey.
Well,
right?
I was getting raped on my old interest rate.
I cannot lower the payment on my car payment any further than it is already.
Because zero is as low as it gets.
Exactly.
And who's going to pay you to drive the trash mobile?
Yeah, unless I could get somebody to pay me to drive my Neon. My Neon is paid off.
Actually, you should see if you should contact Sesame Street and see if Oscar needs a driver.
Needs a sweet ride. Yeah.
drive the Grouch
actually,
around.
Actually, it's not completely mine. I'm still into the family for too large.
Two large donuts, so, large pizzas, large...
Actually, two large pizzas might be enough for Red Dog. I don't know.
Well, it is your father.
So glad he doesn't listen to this podcast. All right.
Yeah, I like Red Dog. He doesn't like you, but, I mean, I've met you. How can he like you?
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
So...
At least I didn't say two large burly men, because you could have been into them for two large burly men.
At this point, we're probably boring everybody except Roland. although Roland's probably laughing his ass off.
yeah, I guess if you haven't met Red Dog, this conversation is far less sensical than it...
my father is... Well, you'd understand a lot about me if you met my dad.
Because basically you're mini him. I mean,
Yeah, he's on a first name basis with the people, not only at the computer stores but the emergency room.
He's got most of his finger.
He's looking to build a third shed in his backyard because two's just not cutting it, and really, his life won't be complete until he's got the first shanty town in Aurora, Colorado.
Well, but you see. Does he have enough limbs to build another?
Yeah, he
did you bring that up?
The fingertips. He damaged the fingertips on one of his hands rather badly in a radial arm saw because he had taken the plastic guard. He had taken the plastic guard off so that he could see the blade better. As
if
a kid, he once shot through a window attempting to shoot a bird. On the rationale that if he had opened the window, the bird would have heard the noise and flown away. He's an interesting guy, and I think you'd understand a lot more about why I am the way I am. Yeah. Okay, so...
Genetics. Yeah, they Josh are clearly Josh powerful.
Josh has met my family and finds them intensely amusing.
So all right. I think that'll do it for Maximum Geek 43.
Yeah. To sum up, very, very small technology is good. Very, very large e-book retailers who don't understand what we're doing are bad. And
we need your help. So go to the forums and check it out.
And
let us know.
And
respond.
We need your help. Help us help you.
Help you help us.
Yeah, we we want to keep these series going, but we need money. So far, yeah. We're making like nothing from fiction wise between the 50% royalty and the $15 advance that they take out of our half for each issue. Over the entire history of Solo Media with all of the issues we've sold so far, Josh and I and Bethany and Tori could go out to dinner in Wichita as long as it's not someplace too nice.
Yeah, like McDonald's. We could no supersizing, yeah. But
no supersizing, but so
yeah. I mean, we've sold.
We need marketing suggestions badly.
Need food badly. I mean, we've sold.
Yeah.
several hundred issues at 89 cents an issue. Several
mm-hmm.
hundred. Yeah, we've made well less than $50.
Well less. Help. And let us know what you think about really tiny media players at MaximumGeek.org/forums. We'll talk to you next week.